Good evening. It's great to see everyone here this evening. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Aaron Van Rabestein. I'm a freshman here at Freed Hardeman this year, and I'm majoring in exercise science. So while being up here and speaking or preaching isn't necessarily my cup of tea, it's still such a privilege and an honor to be able to speak here before you tonight. It's also such a privilege and so very humbling to be asked to speak among such an outstanding group of guys. Everyone before me has done an awesome job, and I highly anticipate listening to all the guys who have lessons to present after me. Also, before we dive into tonight's lesson, I want to thank a few people. First, I want to say thank you to my friends for being willing to lead tonight and for the great job that they've done. Thank you to the elders of this congregation for providing all of us young men with the opportunity to lead. And also, Wayne Scott, I don't know if he made it back from Alabama or not, but if you are here, thank you so much for all the encouragement that you have provided me in preparation for this lesson. Anyway, I want to begin by telling y'all a quick story. So several years ago, there was a young boy who, for the sake of this story, at least until the end, we're going to refer to as Little Man. And Little Man thought he was the man. So it was the peak of his second grade career, and grades had just come out, and report cards were soon to come. The grades had already been submitted, so he knew it was coming, straight A's. But he was still super excited. He was still feeling some type of way because he knew it was coming. You see, in Little Man's class, if you made the honor roll, you got a certificate for a free taco at Taco Bell. That was and still is a huge deal. Well, anyway, the teacher got to passing out report cards, and Little Man opened his, and as was expected, there was the ticket. All right. Well, next to Little Man was his friend and next-door neighbor, Bryce. You see, the thing is, when Bryce opened up his report card, there wasn't a ticket. So what did Little Man do? He laughed at him and made Bryce cry. What a terrible person, right? So school's almost over. They get on the bus, they go home, and they go their separate ways. And shortly after walking in the door, ring, 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 there's the phone. And Little Man's mom goes to answer the phone. And almost immediately, Little Man, who was sitting at the kitchen table, saw the look of anger mixed with disappointment on his mom's face. And it wasn't 2 seconds after she hung up the phone that she lit into him. I mean, chewed him out, and rightly so. So to show Little Man that he wasn't really the man, his mother made him walk across the street, knock on Bryce's door, apologize to Bryce's face, and to top it all off, give him the free taco ticket. That one hurt. Talk about humiliating and humbling. So with watering eyes, Little Man walks back across the street, and as soon as he opens the door and begins to speak to his mother and tell her that the deed was done, he bursts into tears. Never again would he be boastful of his grades or laugh at others because of their status. Little Man had, in every aspect of the word, been humbled. And to all who haven't probably already figured this out, I was Little Man. Now, while that specific example doesn't fully pertain to any of our points this evening, I figured it was a good way to introduce tonight's topic, which, if you haven't figured out, is humility. And specifically, I want to discuss three main points as to how all of us can hopefully grow in humility or become more humble or more Christ-like, as I'm confident that's how God would want us to live. And before we dive into the three points, I think it's important that we talk about what humility means, because it's crucial for us to know the meaning of something if that's what we're going to strive to live like. So I went to several sources, the dictionary, my friends, my family, and the obvious, the Bible. And here's the gist of what I gathered, which I hope will give you all an idea of what we're shooting for or what we're striving to be like. So first, I looked in Merriam-Webster's dictionary and dictionary.com, and they gave me something similar to each other. It said, humility is freedom from pride or arrogance, not proud or arrogant, modest, or a modest opinion of one's, or a modest opinion or estimate of one's own importance or rank. Then I took, I guess, the people's poll, and I combined this all into a list of a bunch of words, and it says humble, honest, selfless, modest, feeling low, down to earth, content, humbleness, not boastful, not showing off, meek or meekness, servant, and putting others first. And then three more definitions that I wanted to include, because rather than just sending me back words, these three people, I could tell, really put time and thought into these definitions, and they meant something to me, so hopefully they'll help you to gain a better understanding as well. One says, talking about, obviously, someone who is humble, is a person who waits to speak, who listens to everything someone is saying before speaking. Humility to me is someone who is always open to a better way of doing something, instead of constantly trying to make people see it their way. Another one, I'm good at something. I know I'm good at it, but no one else knows that I think that about myself. I don't have to announce it or look for praise. Someone who doesn't think highly of themselves, even if they're incredible. And then thirdly, humility is simplicity. Humble folks are simple. They're content. They don't need material things, and if they have them, they don't flaunt them. Humility is just the art of being simple. So now that hopefully all of us have a better understanding of the word humility or what we're striving to be like, let us now look at three ways that I think will help all of us to become more humble and will help us to become the Christians that Christ would have us to be. So first, in order for us to grow in humility or to become more humble, we must become more like a servant. Now, while there are several biblical examples or Christians who have attitudes of service that we all could and should strive to be like, I could think of no better example than Christ himself. As we all know, Christ is the best example for a large majority of the characteristics that we should all strive to have, but having a servant attitude is most definitely one of them. Can you imagine leaving the side of the Father to live among those who would eventually reject and crucify you, and to do it for no other reason than love? Can you imagine giving up a status of eternal fullness willingly? Jesus came to live on empty, so that all who live on empty in this life might be made full in the life to come. As Brock read to us a few minutes ago in Philippians chapter 2, specifically in verses 5 through 9, we see that Christ perfectly defines a humble servant. And we know from verse 6 that Christ is God in the form of flesh. Yet, it says he first did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. So it started in his mind. In order for him to act like this, he had to know his place in his mind. He had to think about this before he could put it into action. And then it says, rather, he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You see, Jesus had a willful emptiness. He lived on empty when he willingly became flesh. He lived on empty when he withstood harsh temptation. He lived on empty when he willingly sought out the marginalized, when he mentored stubborn fishermen, and ultimately when he endured the shame of crucifixion. But we know Jesus' humble attitude and his attitude of service didn't go unnoticed or unrewarded. The passage goes on to say in verses 9 through 11 what God did because of Jesus' attitude of humility and service. And it says, again, therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And when I read that verse, a few other verses that came to mind that I think directly correlate with that passage that help us to just gain a better understanding of this attitude of service that we're looking to have is James chapter 4, verses 6 and 10. Verse 6 tells us, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And then we drop down to verse 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. So ultimately, what I want us to take from this point, or what I want you all to remember about having this attitude of service, is that Christ chose emptiness for all of us over a place of complete fullness. And in a like manner, we need to empty ourselves for others, so that we might be made full in the life to come. Another way that I think we can become more humble, or another way that I believe that will help us to grow in humility, is to check our motives. The fact that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble should be a wake-up call to Christians everywhere. I think a common question we need to ask ourselves in anything we do is, am I doing this to satisfy my selfish desires, whatever it may be? Or am I doing this because it's going to bring glory to God? You see, humility puts God first, others second, and self last. And Christ demonstrated this to the fullest degree. Earlier this semester, Matt Cook did a chapel lesson titled For His Glory, and I think it directly pertains to the point we're discussing. In that lesson, we discussed how we need to take what we're recognized for and our abilities and talents and how we can use them for the glory of God. Specifically, we focused on John the Baptist and how he gives us a rather perfect example of one who knew his place and had a mindset of humility. If you would, go ahead and please turn over to John chapter 1. Again, John chapter 1. And as you're turning over there, we're not going to go too in-depth on any specific verse, but we're just going to briefly overview some key verses in this chapter that give us an outline of John's humble example. So beginning in verse 19, it says, "And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not. Are you the prophet?' And he answered, 'No.'" And pay attention here to verses 22 and 23. "So they said to him, 'Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord.'" So you see, John here, while he is teaching about Christ, and all he is, for lack of a better term, is a road sign to God, he's taking all that he's doing and doing it to lead others to God. Then we drop down to verses 26 and 27, where it says, "John answered them, 'I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie.'" So again, this mindset of humility, where John, this mindset of lowliness, where he brings himself down and says that he is not worthy to untie the strap of Jesus' sandal. Then we continue down to verses 29 and 35 and 36, where it reads, "The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" And then 35, the next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." So again, this is just another example of John. We see that he has people following him, his disciples, and all he's doing is pointing them to Jesus. And by him doing that, we see that people begin to follow Jesus. Look down in verse 37, and it says, "The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus." And then lastly, let's jump forward to chapter 3, verse 30. And in keeping all of these points that we've discussed about John's mindset of humility, I think this verse summarizes, while it's short, it fully summarizes John's mindset, and it also describes the mindset that we should have as Christians. And it says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." You see, John was an incredible, influential, and great man and Christian. But the thing is, he let none of that get to his head. Rather, he used all of that to point others to God. We even know that it says in Luke 7:28, Jesus said, "I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John." But again, we see that John let none of this, he let none of it get to his head to the point where he was trying to take all the glory for himself. Again, all he did was point others to God. As John did, we must realize it's from God and it's for God. So if it's from him, let us always ask ourselves, how can we use it for him? And again, while this is a question that it's more so for you to think about, a few points that I thought of that may help us in achieving this mindset is, one, you don't have to deny that you have that thing, whatever ability or talent that it may be. In fact, you can recognize that you have it. You should. But then ask yourself, how can I use this to glorify God? Second, we should not live our lives caring what others think about us. Rather, what our Heavenly Father thinks about us. And thirdly, and personally, I think this is the most effective. Again, I shouldn't put it on a scale of importance, but at least I know in my life, it's definitely one of the most important and most effective, is to pray about it. And specifically, what I think we should pray about is that everything we do is for God's glory. So to sum this point up, in our decision-making, keep God always in it. Because God in our lives is a whole lot better than life without him. And if you're truly doing things for the right reason, it's not going to be hard to give the glory up to God. And thirdly, in order for us to grow in humility or to become more humble, we must realize that we are no better than anyone else. In our efforts to be more like Jesus, we often find ourselves comparing and ranking with each other, whether openly or secretly in our hearts. And be honest, we've all done it. I know I've done it. But when we do this, we're missing the bigger picture. The point of being a Christian isn't about comparing ourselves to other Christians. It's about exalting Jesus as the perfect standard of godliness. We must realize that we're no better than anyone else, and rather always remember that Jesus' love is for all. He came and lived and died for all, for everyone. So we have no right to ever think that we're ever... So we have absolutely no right to ever think we're any better than anyone else, or to think that we're entitled to anything, because truthfully, we deserve absolutely nothing. So with that thought in mind, let us look to always have the mindset that Philippians 2, 3 through 5 tells us we should have, as Brock again read a few moments ago. Beginning in verse 3, it says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others." And pay attention here to verse 5. "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." You see, this is the mindset that Christ had, and it tells us that this is the mindset that we are to have as well. If we keep this mindset and put it into action in our daily Christian walks, if we humble ourselves, and rather than judging others, and rather than comparing ourselves to others, and rather than trying to impress God, if we simply walk with him and realize that we're all equal in God's eyes, think about how much better our relationships with others and each other will be. Think about how much better our relationship with God will be. And also, think about how much more effective our evangelistic efforts will be. So again, rather than comparing or ranking ourselves with others, let us all see Jesus as that greatest standard for living, and let us simply strive to humbly walk with God. So in conclusion, it's clear through the scriptures that in order for us to be the Christians that God desires for us to be, we must become more humble. We must become more Christ-like. We must develop attitudes of service rather than selfishness. We must get our priorities in life straight. God first, then others, then self. We must check our motives in everything we do. Again, we need to ask ourselves these simple questions. What's my reason for doing what I'm doing? Am I doing it for me, to bring attention to myself? Am I seeking personal praise? Or am I genuinely striving to serve and glorify God in every single thing that I do? It's not an easy task, but if you can answer that question yes, and I know that I can't always say yes, then I think some changes need to be made in your life. Lastly, we must realize that we're no better than anyone else. Rather, we must always remember to keep a proper perspective of ourselves, realizing that we're truly deserving of nothing and that Jesus died for all, and his never-ending, immeasurable love is for all. Ultimately, we must stop comparing ourselves with others and also realize that we'll never impress God with the things that we do. Rather, we must, and again, let me say this again, pay attention to this, we must first see Jesus as the perfect standard of godliness for living and strive to emulate his perfect example. And two, again, stop trying to impress God and simply walk with him. Again, I know this is no easy task, and though difficult, humility can be obtained with prayer, perseverance, and the proper perspective of oneself. So tonight, if pride has taken over your life, if your mindset has become more of self and less of thee rather than the latter, if your motives are more for selfish gain rather than glorifying God, then changes need to be made in your life. If Jesus isn't your standard for living and you're caught up comparing yourself with others, then again, some changes need to be made. There are those here who will assist you tonight to talk with you and to pray for you. Or maybe some other struggle or sin has consumed you and taken over your life, and you need the prayers of the church. The opportunity is here. Or maybe there is someone in the pews tonight who has yet to become a Christian. Well, we know the Word tells us we must first hear the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Then we must believe, Mark 16:15-16. Then we must repent of our sins, Acts 2:38, and confess Jesus' sweet name before men, Romans 10:9-10. And then upon that confession, we must be baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts 2:38 again. But it doesn't end there. We know then we must remain faithful unto death, as Revelation 2:10 tells us. There's no better time than now. Don't wait. If you have any needs at all, please come forward as we stand and as we sing. Pray, God.